Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers who read comics.
Yes, we do. Feeling good today. How about you?
Yeah, feeling good. Ready to pod.
Ready to talk about this thing. I have no idea what it is. I have no clue as to a single thing, really, that happened.
You know, I was reading it, I'm like,
I'm like, wow, there's a lot of names.
This
here.
Might be good for someone who's seen the movie already, you know, and have at least some foundation on what's going on.
I was like, this is just space Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
With like some Star Wars, you know, kind of sprinkled in, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, there's so many names. And then we're watching like a bunch of Game of Thrones. And so I'm like, wow, there's so many names here too. And I'm like, I can't remember all these names, dude. I'm so bad with names, I feel like.
I'll be able to help. Did you watch Dune or no?
No, I haven't yet.
Nah, that would have helped a lot.
I wanted the perspective of somebody that has never read Dune, watched Dune, to read this and see how it is.
You know, people clicking on this episode probably have watched Dune.
This is a good point, and I think they will appreciate my perspective, because if we just both watched and read Dune, there's nothing new there.
Okay.
But now I have questions for you.
Yeah, I got plenty, and I have a lot of insights that I think will help you.
And I still like the book, actually, like a lot.
Yeah, it was pretty likable.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, lots to talk about, actually, this episode.
I knew you'd be able to like appreciate it, even regardless of like your knowledge.
I just like...
In your lack
sci-fi.
Of
sci-fi. There's something about like good sci-fi that like just scratches something in my brain and I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
You know? And I can't tell what it is, but
you thought this was good sci-fi?
I thought so.
Even though there's like no aliens.
There's aliens.
Like who?
Like all of them. Because they're not from Earth.
Sure.
But they're not like alien looking people.
They're like aliens to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I think like different planets and stuff like that and different like ecosystems.
Yeah.
Is like the sci-fi shit that kind of like, you know, and then like also the Game of Thrones with mm-hmm. lots of names and shit.
Yeah. The only thing I can remember from this book is that there's a planet called Ix. Ix? Is that what it is? Or is it just nine? I couldn't tell if it was Roman numerals.
I think it's nine.
Is it nine?
Why would it be just called Ix?
Because there's Ixians, I think. Or are they Ninians?
I don't know.
Okay. I've full 180. This book sucks.
You know what? You know what? Let me call someone.
We got a Dune expert.
I have a friend, Viv. She, I hope this is her number still. Cause Brandon got a new number.
Oh, why are they hiding from us? She like read the books too.
Yeah. Like the real ones.
Oh, wow. Real books. What, this is not a real book to you, Daniel?
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And she's probably like,
oh, you know what? Wow.
She posts a lot of memes while getting anxiety about getting phone calls. I'm going to watch her just like not answer.
Even Sophie, when
she texts me, she's like, Google Fi wireless
subscriber, you have called.
Wow. Wow. Let me call Brandon.
Not a real friend.
I know, dude.
Has he read the...
I assume really hope he's with her.
I really hope both of your friends just don't pick up.
It's like nighttime.
Dude, they're probably like at a fucking waterfall or something. You ever see follow them?
Oh, yeah. They're in Iceland, I think, right now.
Yeah.
So they might not even answer.
Dude, it might be like 1 a.m. for them right now.
Shit.
Hold on. God, Iceland. That's so sick.
So what time is it in Iceland? Look it up real quick.
Iceland time. 1:44 a.m. is
oh, shit.
Well, we'll never know.
I'll ask her later and then I'll type it in.
Okay.
Yeah,
please, editor Daniel, put it above my head how you say
I'm
it.
I'm like, they're getting married this year and now they're doing these international trips. I didn't even know they wanted to go to Iceland.
That sounds pretty fucking cool. Reykjavik, dude? You joking?
The what?
Reykjavik.
What is that?
It's a place in Iceland where they had the Valorant Champions Tour. And that's the only thing I know about Iceland, but it also looks pretty. So, Daniel, let's get into some fucking news.
Yeah, oh yeah. Sorry,
we got
time codes.
The thing people are here for.
Yeah, no. Sorry, everyone just listen to me call someone. I'll cut that out. I'll make it shorter.
Dan's got no friends. He tried to call his friends. They didn't answer.
Yeah, they hit me. We got time codes in our description with different segments. We got the book, which is Dune, House of Atreides, the Back Matter Matters.
It? Huh? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Atreides? In my head?
Atreides. And then wow. The poll list, but we start with the news. What do you got in?
Big, fast, stinking news, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
You like Jamie McKelvey?
Sure do.
Are you a big fan?
Yeah.
He's doing a distillery book. He's writing and drawing it himself called One for Sorrow.
Didn't we know that? Like, you got to stop bringing up distillery news of, like, books that were hinted at in, like, The Devil's Cut.
They announced it like it was, like, a big announcement.
Well, I don't know. Because, like, we don't know when it's coming out. Well, now it's like
official. But, Daniel, just sprucing up your memory a little bit.
Okay.
Daniel, you like Dan Mora? Here's new news.
Sure do. Okay.
Mark Waid and Dan Mora are doing a DC event called Absolute Power. It's going to be a 4-issue series, thank God, that launches July 2nd and shows how Amanda Waller will use the strategic and military might of Failsafe and the otherworldly technology of Brainiac Queen to steal all meta-human abilities from every superhero and supervillain around the globe. I think it's... I like Dan Mora. I don't know about the story.
I think they're abusing that team. They're like...
Yeah. Milk them.
I heard that was going to be like a 27-part event, like for the tie-ins and shit.
I mean, just don't read the tie-ins.
Yeah. Absolute Power is a deceiving name because they'll have like Absolute Swamp Thing and stuff like that as like collections for things, or Absolute Green Lantern. And it'll
I'll read that.
It'll be like a whole collection of stuff with like extra stuff. And then it'll also be like giant sized, I guess.
When you say a collection of stuff, like when they collect it, is what you mean?
Like they'll have like multiple collections, but like normally the biggest one is the Absolute, you know?
Oh, I see.
Like there's Absolute All-Star Superman.
You know what I mean? Gotcha. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, but and then the title doesn't mean anything to me. Like it doesn't feel like it connects to what the story is going to be.
Anyway, someone's taking all the power. So they're going to have...
Amanda Waller's taking all the power.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's
cool. I like that team.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Doing stuff.
I hope they keep doing World's Finest, but I also realize that they've had 25 issues now, and I'm like, nothing ever goes this long, you know? So I feel like it'll end at some point, but I don't think there's any...
Might be just like a 4-month break.
Could be, yeah. Because I think... I still don't know how they did Shazam and World's Finest like the same time. There was one villain artist.
There are huge gaps in Shazam.
Was there?
There was like a 3 or 4 month gap in Shazam.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. I think you're right.
But
anyway.
Nathan.
Yes.
Wednesday is new comic book day once again, because DC Comics is going back to releasing shit on Wednesdays like everyone else.
Thank fucking God.
Yeah. They stop being weirdos.
I mean, it's never really been a problem for me because I just go on Wednesday and everything I want typically is there on Tuesday, but there's been like one or two instances where some DC shit sells out. And I'm exactly. Like, fuck. That's good. I wonder why they decided to do that.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Daniel, Jason Aaron's having a big year.
He sure is.
It's shaping up to be a big year. 2 new Jason Aaron books were announced, okay?
Yeah.
With properties you might recognize.
Uncle Scrooge. And the Infinity Dime.
With covers by Alex Ross drawing Dude. Uncle Scrooge.
Coming out June 19th.
Are you shitting me?
Did you see it?
Yeah, dude, it looks great.
I'm so into it.
How is this man good at everything?
It's such a bizarre...
Wow.
Like, announcement, you know?
Yeah. It's insane. I don't know who's drawing it, but it's coming.
It's like it looked like Italian people.
He said a host of talented artists and then covers by Alex Ross. I wonder like when they email Alex Ross, they're like, do you want to do Uncle Scrooge covers? He's probably like super psyched about it, but I imagine he has to do like a test run of like what his Uncle Scrooge looks like. Right. Or do you think he just has that kind of dick.
If you can draw like a photorealistic like superhero, you could probably draw a cartoon.
But it's still in his like somewhat realistic style.
Just makes like a 2D thing like a 3D thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
It looks like an animated movie. Like,
but he's really good with it. So
yeah, no, it looks cool.
Yeah. And Daniel, the second Jason Aaron thing coming out, a Wild West chapter of the Berserker series called A Face Full of Bullets.
Good name.
Yeah, it's gonna be written by Jason Aaron with interior art by Francesco Manna and covers by Matteo Scalera, which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
So I guess they're doing more Berserker stuff. I thought they were just gonna do that one spinoff and call it good, but no, people love Berserker, I guess.
Is Berserker still coming out or no?
Not the regular Berserker, but there was either a spinoff or a sequel to Berserker that Keanu Reeves isn't involved with, I'm pretty sure.
Cool. I don't know if We knew this already, but The Boys season 4 comes out June 13th.
Yeah.
We knew that? Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nathan, an animated Jurassic League movie is in the works.
I'm very excited about this. I loved, most of all, reading some of the comments on like all the posts, and people are like, what is this? Who asked for this? I did, internet.
Yeah.
That's sick. Is Jurassic, was it a thing before Dana Loren Johnson and the other dude did it? I don't think so either, right? Because it was so fun when they were doing it. So yeah. I don't know. But pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with that. Marvel announced whatever their event was going to be. It's called Blood Hunt, I think. It's just vampires. They got all their good talent on it. So
that sounds like a Rob Liefeld book from the 90s.
Dude, it does. Well, just because of blood.
Yeah.
People associate blood with him a lot.
Marvel canceling all their X-Men books, Nathan.
All of them?
All of them. Because they're like relaunching them or whatever.
Cool.
For like the rise of the House of X or whatever. And so the ones that are currently ongoing will like end.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be that. And then that'll end X-Men for a little bit.
I don't know. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
After the rise of the House of X or whatever.
I don't know. It's like the end of the Krakoan era, you know? And so I'm sure stuff will just like get new numbering.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll just like reboot like some, or like new series will come out of it, you know?
Yeah. I think they're going to try and just move on to the next era.
So, but you know, the clickbait articles, I'm like, wow, why are they doing that?
Yeah. They're ending all X-Men. You're like, what? Some Brian Michael Bendis stuff was signed to Amazon, such as Jinx, Pearl, and Murder, Inc. that are apparently being developed into shows.
Murder, Inc. looks cool. I like the covers and like the logo.
Yeah. Some Oming was pretty cool.
Is that Oming?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So it's probably awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I read it when they relaunched it, but then I was like, I don't know who all these people are. So I'd have to like start from the beginning.
Oh, so this is not like a new thing currently. It's like a...
It was part of his original Jinx World imprint, which he's had for a really long time. I think he was writing some of those books before he even started at Marvel, if I'm not mistaken. Or I think it was part of Icon when Marvel was doing that. Some shit like that. It's like pretty old. So I think the only newer property here is Pearl. And I could even be wrong about that. But I read Pearl when they were launching it, when he had it at DC again.
So you say that like Amazon bought those or something?
Yeah, Amazon.
Hmm.
So three potential new shows. It says it's an Amazon first look deal.
So they just bought like the...
But it also says developing Jinx, Pearl, and Murder, Inc. into shows.
Well, yeah, it's like the purpose of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, developing doesn't mean it'll for sure happen.
Yeah.
Pearl would be cool. It's kind of like tattoo-based, like crime book. It's like some crime lords that are like also tattoo artists and shit. And they send secret messages through tattoos or something. The art was really cool because I was just impressed that he was able to consistently draw so many like tattoos accurately on like an ongoing series.
Yeah.
Which seems like it'd be really hard. But
Nathan.
Yeah.
Today news. Or I guess when this is recorded news. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem 2 coming October 9th, 2026.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Well, we knew it was probably going to happen. It's probably going to be Shredder, right?
Because good. Yeah, they had the teaser.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure because it didn't seem like it did that well, but I guess it did well enough.
Yeah, I think toys just like run that shit, dude.
Probably.
I think that's probably where they get most of their money. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Dana, one of our favorite things is when a famous person does a comic book.
Ooh.
In the newest iteration.
Is it Jared Leto?
No. I would read the fuck out of that book. even if it was like terrible, I'd want to see just like what the fuck is going on in that dude's mind.
Let me guess. Is it someone that you think should be writing a comic?
I think he'll give it a good run.
Okay.
It is a he.
He.
And it is an actor.
Can you give me like all the details around it other than who's writing it?
Around the book?
Yeah.
Like, okay, what's it called? It's called The Writer.
Oh, fuck.
Dark Horse, 4-issue miniseries. Let's see. The Writer combines the fantastical elements of cultural folklore with the real-life challenges of the creative process in an original story that will be both unique and familiar. We'll also feature the creative talents of storytellers Ben and Max Berkowitz. I think those are the artists. Marvel artist Ariel Olivetti, and Letter of Frank.
Is it Peter Dinklage?
No, that'd be cool though.
Okay. All right, let me hear it.
Josh Gad of Frozen fame.
Really?
Mr. Olaf, amongst other things.
Dang. But
yeah, okay. Josh Gad.
What's it called?
It's called The Rider.
The Rider.
And I think he's put himself as the main character because that's definitely Josh Gad.
Yeah, that's just like to sell it probably.
That's as Josh Gad as like Berserker is Keanu Reeves, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I think it's cool. I like when actors do comics and then they're like, hey, huge Frozen audience, I have a comic book. Yeah. Maybe we should check out comic books. So whatever.
For sure.
And Alan Moore is doing, I guess, his last ever comic book, October 2024, with him and Steve Moore of no relation. Did you know that?
That they weren't related?
Yeah. I think there's
a lot of Moores in the world.
But I
know Moore.
I think they've worked together before.
On what?
I think it might have been From Hell, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But anyway, it's called The Moon and Serpent Bumper Book of Magic.
Oh my god.
So it seems like it would be exhausting to read. But apparently it's been 2 decades in the works. So whatever.
All right.
Just leave. You know?
Do you know that he came out with like a movie?
Good for him. What movie?
It's called The Game or something.
Like recently?
Like 2020, I think. And it's like he's like in it. He's not like the main character, but he's in it.
Okay.
I looked it up once and it looks like kind of Arrowverse version of like Watchmen almost.
Okay.
You know, but like it wasn't a comic or anything.
Right. Just an original thing that he did.
Yeah. I heard it just like reading reviews. It just seems like it's okay.
Okay.
I think it was on Stars or something. It was like a Stars original movie or something.
Wasn't Frank Miller doing a bunch of like movie shit too?
Like what? Like he was making movies?
Yeah.
Other than Sin City, I'm not sure.
Did he direct that?
Yeah, he co-directed it with Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
I think that's his name.
That's probably what I'm thinking of. And last thing, I just think that this is funny. It's not really comic book news, but I really like the Vought International Twitter account.
Oh, yeah?
The one that does like the boys stuff. Because did you hear like Trump made like a shoe? And he was like selling shoes. Mm-hmm. They posted a Homelander shoe.
Nice.
They're going to be selling for $777. And I think that's really funny.
I'd much rather have that.
Yeah, honestly, it's a pretty dope shoe.
Alrighty. What did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Dune. I think there's a subtitle. Hold on.
There is a subtitle. Because we didn't just read Dune. Because Dune is its own thing.
Dune House Atreides.
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 House Atreides.
House Atreides. Okay. I think it's pretty good. There's not a whole lot that really happens, and it feels like half of a trade, but I love the artist. I think he fucking nails this, whatever this is.
Kevin Anderson?
Yeah. We see a big worm, which I'm excited about.
Right now, Kevin Anderson is a writer. Dev Permanek, lettered by Ed Dukeshire. What a good name.
Oh, wow. Dukeshire.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
He seems like he should be doing letters on like a Dune book, you know?
Yeah. Do we know these writers?
Coded by Alex Guimarães.
Dude, he's a great colorist.
He is. I love the colors in this.
He does some good shit in this book.
Brian Herbert, I think he's like the original writer of Dune.
Is he?
Yeah.
So he's doing some comic shit?
Seems like he's got to be super old because like the first Dune movie was like in like the 70s, I think. No, 1984. So
you'd think it would just be like, yeah, I think he did write Dune.
Dune writer.
Dune by Brian Herbert?
Oh, no, Frank Herbert.
Oh, okay, so it's his son.
Do you know that, or you just jumped to conclusions?
No, it said he is elder son of science fiction author Frank Herbert, who died in 1986.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But well,
he was born in the 20s.
It says Brian Herbert's novels include Sidney's Comet, Prisoners of Arion, Man of Two Worlds, and Sudana. So you'd think that like Dune would be in there, but there are Dune books by Brian Herbert, it looks like. So I don't think he was the original one. We probably sound really dumb if there's like big Dune heads in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what'd you think?
I thought it was really cool. I really dig the art and the colors are like, amazing.
Yeah, they nailed that.
Especially compared to like the movie, because it always just looks like super sepia tone because it's mostly on like Arrakis or whatever.
Yeah, which is desert planet.
Which is the desert planet. So it's just like in the desert the entire time,
mm-hmm.
which isn't
so first
that
Dune,
crazy.
Dune movies mainly on desert planet?
I think so, yeah. And then it's like inside sometimes.
So you don't see any icks?
I don't know what an ick is. Like, I don't remember an ick. What's an ick? Is that a person?
IX.
I thought that was a planet.
I think, yeah. So I'm asking you, is there any, there's no ick planet in Dune? Like, do we see any other planets in the movie?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm going to go see Dune on Friday, Dune 2.
Okay.
Or Dune.
Yep.
Yeah. And I already have like a summary of Dune 1, like, YouTube video queued up.
Okay, nice.
Because I'm not going to rewatch it.
How long is it? Like 20 minutes?
The recap?
Yeah.
I think it's like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Which is good.
Okay.
What else I got to say? This had a pretty good pacing. I was kind of expecting it to be like dense because I think House Atreides is like a book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And oh, so maybe that's why he's credited as writer. Do you think he like wrote like for this comic specifically?
He might have. And then probably Kevin Anderson was like,
let me make
the
this
comic guy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like, let me put this into like pacing, you know?
Yeah. You're like, we don't need all these captions. And so, yeah, I was surprised because like when you're, I think one of the biggest things that we run into when we're reading stuff for stuff, you know, like reading comics,
reading stuff for stuff,
reading comics because there's a comic for this movie that's coming out or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, it's kind of handicapped by that because I don't know, they don't always have like the best talent on them, you know, people that we recognize, and you know, certain books can never like really live up to the movie that they're based off of.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just because it's a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like surprised that this was like pretty cool.
Yeah. I think if this was like not even Dune related.
Yeah. Come from Boom Studios. They have the rights for like the prequels and stuff.
Okay. Nice. Is Leto Timothy Chalamet?
No, Leto is Oscar Isaac.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was reading this whole thing and I'm like, it kind of looks like Timothy Chalamet.
Because that's...
What's Timothy Chalamet's name? Is he Atreides?
His name's Paul.
Wow. That's insane.
He's like the chosen one. His name's Paul.
I don't ever want to be saved by anybody named Paul. I just want to be clear.
Thank you, Paul.
Everybody bow down to Paul.
We got some Duncan Idaho in this, though.
I know. I was excited about that. I was like, this is Jason Momoa. Daniel told me that last week.
Yeah, I can kind of get that. I get that mixed up sometimes. And I like did a couple Googles when I saw like a name like that looks familiar.
Okay.
And just to see if they're in the movie at all.
Are there a lot of people in the movie in this book?
There was like one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than who we've already talked about.
So a lot of new stuff.
Yeah. So cool. People who probably like didn't survive until the movie, or they just like didn't show it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
I just want to, let's get into it, but I just want to start off by saying that this first sentence sucks as somebody that doesn't know anything about Dune, and I'll just read it word for word. Okay.
Okay.
By the grace of Padisha, Emperor Elrud Ix, House Harkonnen has governed all spice operations for the past 40 years.
All right. So let's break this down.
Okay. This is what we do now.
By the grace of
Padisha.
Padisha. I don't know what that is. That sounds like a god or something.
Okay.
Emperor
Elrud Ix.
So.
Or nine.
He's. Hold on one sec. Hold on one sec. Don't interrupt me while my thought is going.
Okay. He's cooking.
The fucking.
You overcooked.
I don't know. I have shitty notes. Hold on.
Yeah.
So he is like the. He's obviously like the emperor dude that we see.
Wow.
He's not the emperor in Dune, the movie.
Because he died.
And
his
probably.
Son is the emperor?
His son, yeah. The guy that we see with the red hair.
Yeah, yeah.
He ends up being like the emperor.
Okay, okay.
So that's, they're of the House Harkonnen.
Yes.
And they're like the dickheads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Harkonnen, not Harkonnen.
You can say however you want. I could be wrong, but that's how I read it.
That sounds cooler and more right.
Harkonnen?
So, Harkonnen, I'll say that.
And then spice.
That's like drugs?
It's drugs.
Okay, but...
Like in real life.
But legal drugs?
I don't know.
Like, is it frowned upon? Because it seems like they're trying to, like, tax and sell drugs, like, legally. So is it, like, marijuana now? Or is it, like cocaine?
It's probably more like heroin.
Or is it, like...
If it was legal. Because, like, I don't know. Maybe there's not, like, intergalactic law. You know, there's just like an emperor who gets what he wants. Kind of thing. And so
there could also be, are there side effects to it?
They say like melange or something.
Yeah.
And that's like where you get the spice, I guess.
I think that is the spice, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like.
Yeah. Melange.
Yeah.
You get spice from it.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, cool. Anyway.
This is like one of those situations where you read something and you're not sure if you're saying it correctly.
Dude, I'm just reading words and trying to categorize them like in my head as like, that's a thing that I should remember.
Yeah. You know? But I saw that movie like 3 years ago when it came out, mm-hmm. you know, and this still seemed to like work for me.
Okay.
There was some stuff I'm like, I don't know. But
did you see anybody do spice in the movie? Do they snort it?
I think you just like kind of inhale it.
Really? Okay. That's cool.
Like you just throw it in someone's face or something or like the fumes of it. It's nice. Like getting kicked, like sand getting kicked in your face.
Okay, kind
of
thing. Cool. I like that. It's a good drug premise, I guess.
I need to rewatch that shit.
Anyway, Planet Arrakis.
Oh yeah, Baron Vladimir. That's the guy who becomes the emperor in the next panel.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Daniel, we're on Planet Arrakis. It's got the best spice around. Let me tell you.
I think it's the only spice in town.
I think it's the only place that has melange. What do we call it?
Let's just call it spice. They have spice.
They have spice. And Lord Baron Harkonnen. What did you say?
Harkonnen.
He rules over and he like mines it. But one of the main spice factories blows up and that's no good. We don't want that. On Kytane. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Kytane, which is the capital world and where the emperor is. This dude, Pardo Kynes, is a planetologist that is assigned by Emperor Elrud Ix to study the spice planet Arrakis. Do we don't know Pardo in the movie?
No.
Pardot?
No. Pardo? I like looked up a lot of these guys. Okay, cool. Just because I'm like, just to make sure, because I'm like, they seem important.
I like this career of just like going to study planets.
Planetologist, yeah.
Yeah, planetologist. Because I feel like there's probably a need for that. They're like, hey, is there anything on this planet that we should know about?
Yeah. You
know? So I think it's kind of an interesting career. Then the emperor like butts heads with Earl Vernius, who fucks the emperor's wife now, I guess. And the emperor is suspicious of Earl's planet developing evil think machine technology. So think machine technology, isn't that AI, essentially?
Probably.
That's like a big part of the movie, isn't it? Or no?
I don't know.
Okay. we meet Leto Atreides, yes. Son of King Polus.
Yeah, so Leto named his son after his dad, clearly, but just shortened it.
Okay, yeah, okay. Leto is assigned to meet Earl Vernius on Ix, but he creates an event for him, for like his send-off, and he fights a big bull, which is pretty cool.
So
he's like sending his kid away, but he's like, everybody needs to know, and I need to fight a bull to do it in front of everybody.
Yeah, because that's cool.
That is pretty fun. We should decide presidents this way, I think.
Yeah, whoever survives...
Whoever can, kill a bull. Like, that's part of, like, you have to be over a certain age, you know, or whatever. Like, yeah. whatever it is normally, but also you have to fight a bull.
Yeah.
And I think that would be better than what we have going on right now.
Like, we decide, like, our leader the way, like, the Dothraki does.
Dude, yeah.
Whoever's just
like, they should just duel.
Who's ever the strongest or is undefeated.
I don't think that there's some value to that.
Yeah.
A bull specifically would be fucking sick. Can you imagine the viewership on that shit?
Through the roof.
Yeah. There's this dude named Shaddam, and he poisons the emperor with a toxin that activates when he drinks beer. So it's like a slow-acting poison.
Yeah, so this dude just gets like a needle and shoves it up this old dude's nose when he's sleeping,
yeah.
And he doesn't wake up.
Well, oh yeah, it is a needle that goes up his nose.
Yeah, I'm like... Wow. And it's like long. Yeah, it looks like 5-6 inches. So yeah, very big needle.
At first I thought it was just like a little mist that he just inhaled while he's breathing, but he does both. He like shoves a needle up there too. So I don't know. But Dan, what I got to say is the colorist does a really good job of really distinguishing the different planets.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not hard for like the desert planet because it's like, you know, orange, you know, very, very
yellow,
hot and sandy. Yeah. But like, Kytane, you know, very purple and blue. It's very easy to like tell where you are without like getting them mixed up and shit. So I think he does a really good job with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first issue. Also, the fight scene with the bull, pretty cool. Like, I can tell that, like, this dude's a good comic artist because, you know, he gets all crazy with, like, the panels and stuff when there's, like, an action scene.
Yeah.
And he just, like, he knows how to, like, keep the reader engaged, which I really appreciate.
Definitely.
So, pretty cool.
So, I guess they call Arrakis, like, Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they call that planet Dune.
I think they said somewhere, like, the locals, the Freemans?
Yeah.
They call it Dune.
Right, right.
What's the, like, thing on their nose? The Freemans?
It's like, just help them it looks breathe? Like an oxygen thing.
Is that so that they don't inhale spice? Is that what it's supposed to be?
I feel like it had something to do with, like, dust storms.
That makes sense, too.
No. Yeah, it's like some sort of oxygen thing, I think.
I would assume so, yeah.
If I'm wrong, don't come for me.
Tell Daniel. Tweet at him.
don't comment and like this video.
Yeah. If we're wrong, comment and like.
But what a shitty way to go, you know? You just... Your drinking beer kills you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't just poison the beer. Like, it's like the beer activates a poison in your brain, but...
And like, it's slow acting, like, so you like, got a couple more
die,
beers going.
What if you die, like, mid-beer, you Dude, know?
That would suck.
Beer going to waste.
And it's, like, a good one?
Yeah.
It's still cold?
Nice and crisp?
Yeah.
And it's delicious.
It's I like, mean, it's if like anyway, a, it's the best way to go.
It's like a Big Blue Van, you know? do what you love.
Yeah. He went out doing what he loved.
Yeah. Anyway, issue two.
Issue two. Pardo Kynes is on the desert planet Arrakis, and he meets Baron Harkonnen.
Baron Harkonnen. That is Dave Bautista.
Oh, so he becomes bald later?
Yeah.
Dang. Wait, isn't he like super pale in the movie?
Everyone's very pale in that. Like all the Harkonnen people.
Okay. There's not a whole lot of pale people in this book, I feel like. Are they pale because they're like hiding from the sun a lot? Because I feel like a lot of the characters in here are in the sun a lot.
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay. I'm just, yeah.
You really just should have watched the movie, but...
I will by next week. How about that?
It doesn't do anything for this episode, Nathan.
Yeah, but we'll both watch Dune and I'll be like, I have an answer for my question.
You gonna watch Dune?
I'll watch Dune.
Dune and Dune?
Yeah.
That's like 5 hours of movie.
I'll watch Dune and Tune. Dune and Tune.
Okay.
It's 5 hours of movies, both of them?
Yeah, the first one's like 220 and this next one's like 250.
Okay. I'll try my best.
And then there's going to be a third part, Dune Messiah, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they know this shit bangs. Are both of them directed by Denis Villeneuve?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know how you say his name? It's not Dennis.
Yeah, I sent you a TikTok about it.
About how to pronounce his name?
Yeah, because he says it. And I
think I've always I always knew about Villeneuve, but I don't know if I knew about Dennis. But I fuck with that guy.
Yeah, he's good. What other movie have you watched from him?
Arrival.
Okay.
Good movie.
Have you seen Enemy?
I haven't seen Enemy.
Have you seen Prisoners?
I've seen Blade Runner.
24/9?
Yeah.
No. Have you seen Sicario?
No, I haven't yet, actually.
Really?
That was him?
Yeah, that one fucks.
Wow, dude, he's got some range.
Yeah.
Very cool. A guy.
Very good. Yeah. I'm okay with what he's doing right now.
Yeah. Okay, good.
he could keep doing Dune.
Yeah, so Pardo, he's on Arrakis. He meets Baron Harkonnen. Baron puts Pardo on like a worm-killing mission with his nephew and his men. And so they go out into the desert and they set up explosives and a thing to attract the worm. It like buzzes in the sand and attracts it, I guess. And it does show up and it gets killed, but it immediately decomposes into like little worm things. So they don't have anything to like show for it.
Maybe it's got babies.
I think it was a pregnant worm. Yeah.
That'd be crazy if all those turn into big ass worms.
I think they will if they all survive.
That's scary.
I don't know how old the worms live, but I was so excited to see a worm in this book.
So they called the worms Shai Hulud.
Okay. Not popcorn buckets.
No.
Okay.
Because like to the Freeman or whatever, it's kind of like a god, basically, mm-hmm. you know? And there's like a metalcore band from like the early 2000s called Shai Hulud.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, but I knew the band, you know? And so mm-hmm. when they said Shai Hulud, I'm like, that's a fucking band. What do you mean?
Like a metal band?
Yeah, it's like a metalcore band.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, that's instantly like a cooler band now, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're the worm monster band, you know?
Do you think that's where they got the name?
Yes, dude. They just from make Dune? Up Shai Hulud, yeah. They're based in like...
The band got it from the Dune books?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or like the old movie from the 80s.
Yeah, that could be it as well. Probably more likely that.
Anyway, good name.
Good name. We go to Wallach Ix.
I think it's Wallach 9.
Wallach 9. I'll never know. And it's a school for the sisterhood. Mother Superior Harishka needs a daughter with Baron Harkonnen to like strengthen their bloodline, probably.
Yeah, they got this weird map where they like keep track of everyone. And like, I guess they're able to calculate like how to make the strongest bloodline somehow.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I guess one of them has to smash Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah, get a kid with him.
Which is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's just making dick appointments for you?
That's yeah. Nice. Well, they do that in like Game of Thrones. And they're like, hey, Tyrion, you got to marry Sansa now.
Yeah, but that's like just for like political power.
That's what they're doing this for. To just like have the strongest. Or are you saying like this will create the strongest offspring? Like,
you know, physically? Maybe a bit of both.
I think it might be a bit of both. But
I feel like there can't be that many families, you know?
There's a lot of houses. Where, like,
if they keep doing this, everyone's just going to be cousins.
I think that's the goal.
Incest?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's like most of Game of Thrones.
That's true.
Anyway, then we see Duncan Idaho, a young Jason Momoa.
On Giddy Prime.
Yeah,
Giddy Prime.
And he's a kid who barely... Like, just barely gets hunted down on Giddy Prime, and he's thrown back into a cell with his parents, who I guess were, like, officials or some important people, but now they're in a cell. And when Duncan tries to stand up for himself, his parents get shot and killed.
So they do a thing where they just, like, let prisoners just try and escape?
Yeah.
Like, for fun.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think every jail should be like that.
Yeah. You know? We train our guys.
Yeah.
You know, keep them physically fit.
Right. Keep things from like being boring.
And there's like a random chance that like prisoners can escape, and that's cool.
Right. They earned it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got some ideas in this Dune universe.
Yeah. It's crazy. They just like shot his parents. And I'm like, oh, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what was I saying? Oh, I really like how this artist like renders faces on like close-ups, because there were some like Duncan Idaho parts here, and you could tell it kind of has like a...
He looks dirty?
Well, it's like kind of like chalky. It almost reminds me of like Greg Smallwood a little bit with how he would do some of his like rendering on faces, and I really like how he does it.
It's not necessarily like super blended.
Yeah.
But...
And I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It feels like a rough brush.
It's like a layer of like darkness.
Mm-hmm. But he does it not just for people that he's trying to make look dirty. It's just like a lot of the people that he does. So I think he's, really strong. Then we see Leto get dropped off on 9 or Ix, whatever it is. But he's completely abandoned and now suddenly has to survive on this planet because the people left him. And he doesn't even know if he's on Ix or 9.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
A little awkward.
And I think that this is an interesting situation for like a very royal feeling character, but then he just like gets found later on. So it's like,
yeah,
I wish he had to like survive. And in my head, this is Timothée Chalamet. So I'm like, maybe this is how he like, you know, becomes a freeman or whatever.
Yeah. So this book is full of great covers, you know?
Yeah, dude. This a Michael Walsh cover.
Michael Walsh, chapter 3, maybe? Yeah, dude,
he nails it. Big worm, popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
So yeah, issue 3 on Giddy Prime. Reverend Mother Gaius Helen Moheim meets with Baron Harkonnen to incorporate her bloodline with the Harkonnens to keep power, I think. And she blackmails him to get him to be more into it.
I wrote Baron's scared of girls. Because he's like, no.
He's like, I won't do that.
He's like, I don't want it.
But what's weird is he's like, you can fuck my nephew. You want that?
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, okay.
He said something weird.
Do you know what Bean Gesserit is? Or Bene Gesserit?
Hold on. He's like, it's important our bloodlines like merge or whatever. And she's like, the procreation process with women disgusts me. I'm like, he's scared of girls.
Yeah, he is. He doesn't like it.
What was your question?
Do you know what the Bene or Bean, B-E-N-E, Gesserit is? Because they...
Isn't that the group that she's a part of?
I thought it was just the sisterhood, but I don't know.
Maybe that's like their map of...
Oh, yeah. That could be it. Could be the fuck map.
Yeah.
We see Duncan Idaho stuff again. He's dropped off on a planet with a tracker in his back so he can be hunted. And he kind of runs off. He finds a cave and he manages to get the tracker off, which he uses as a distraction.
Yeah, he's got to stab himself in the neck.
Dude, yeah. You'd think they put it in a place where they like couldn't reach as easily, you know?
Like their butthole.
I think you could reach that easier. but it's like on like the top or shoulder like the
mid part of your back. Yeah, like you can't reach.
That's where you should be putting it, you know?
As far as I know, that part of my back is filthy.
I've never washed it.
I just hope that like or my like shampoo runs down.
Suicide Squad should put it there. Like you need to at least get someone to help you take it out, you know? Because it's like in their neck, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like if you know how to take it out, you probably could do it by yourself. He probably
could like paralyze himself if they have like normal human anatomy.
Yeah.
It could have. So,
but sketchy. He puts the tracker in a cave. There's a hunter that comes to try and hunt him down. And Duncan like drops a huge boulder on him and crushes him. And then he grabs his gun and runs off.
Yeah. I like the crunch sound that is with that. And it looks like the crunch bar, like a logo.
Yeah. And like, this is such a good page to like start this hunt because of just like the way that they like designed the page and everything. And he's got this like big ball that's like his flashlight essentially, and that creates like a really visually interesting sort of appeal.
It's also kind of crazy that he got the tracker out like first try.
Yeah,
you know,
you'd think I'm sure he knows where it is. It probably hurts.
I couldn't even get like a popcorn kernel out of my teeth first try, you know.
Yeah, it is really hard,
let alone a tracker that's in my skin. Yeah, next to on my your spine. Back
yeah. Where you can't see. There's no mirrors.
I can't feel it with my tongue.
It would be funny if there was like a couple pages of him just like trying to get it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think like these artists are really good at like telling you like, okay, this is some intense shit that's happening. Cause there's like a full like silent page of him starting his run and then just like him digging out his back. And it's like pretty brutal. So I think they're really good. Leto is on the planet in the desert and he gets picked up by Prince Romber of House Vernius. And he takes Leto into the Nine underground city and he meets with Earl like he was supposed to. But Leto also sees all the crazy tech that they have underground, including those spaceships that the Emperor is like pissed about. And then meanwhile, the Emperor's son is pissed because his dad isn't dead yet from drinking beer. But yeah, I just wish that like Leto had to survive for a little bit because it seems like he's just walking around for like an hour and he's like, oh, what's up? And then he gets like taken in. So I felt like that plot point was like a little bit weak because it was like literally the like cliffhanger from the last issue. And then they just like pick him
right.
up. So I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, a little misleading.
Mm-hmm. And then this issue wraps up with the planetologist Pardo Kynes exploring on Arrakis. And he stumbles on a fight between the Freemans and the Harkonnens. And I think he kills some like Harkonnen men during this whole fight. Because it was like 12 dudes.
Yeah, it was like really 3 to 6 or something.
Yeah.
And you need to like interview a Freeman for like his studies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he just murders some people or helps murder.
I think he. Yeah, I wanted to help like the little guy, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's got some pretty cool fucking armor for a dude that's just supposed to like look around on a planet. You know, he's got like this whole face mask thing. He's got some crazy armor. So I'm like, what kind of planetologist are you?
Yeah, maybe that unfolds later.
Hmm.
So this big ship thing on Nine is like underground. And then he's like, how the fuck do we get this out? Is there like a
big dome? Roof.
Yeah. Roof.
Yeah.
He's like, no, our ships just fold time, fold space or whatever.
So it just like creates like a little wormhole, I guess, to like get out by itself.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
I'm like, all right, I guess.
There's a bunch of like bridges and shit that are attached to it, though. And I'm like, what happened to those?
You know, they just stay there.
They just stay there, yeah. And I'm like, wow,
they stay erect somehow.
That's a pretty, you know, strong material they built those out of because they're not even attached to anything at the end. So
yeah, I overthought that too.
Did you?
Yeah. Chapter 4, covered by Lorenzo De Felici.
Yeah. I got some good
cuts. Oh, sorry. The Freeman.
Yes.
That's like the group that like Zendaya is a part of.
Oh, okay.
And Javier Bardem, if you know him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone else, but
he's No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a good actor.
So that like queen lady or whatever that was like trying to get it in with Baron.
Yeah.
She kind of roasts him.
Yeah.
Calls him like a two pump chump. basically.
That would be so funny if she said that, like, for real.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does roast him for, like, you probably will bust super early. So, like, let's just get this over with. All right, issue 4. Duncan, Idaho, sets up another trap for, like, his hunters. And he's able to, like, shoot and kill a few of them, I think. And he retreats, but then he gets picked up by some guy and put on a spaceship and taken off planet. And then Baron and that sisterhood lady argue, but they end up fucking anyway to strengthen the bloodline.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. She's like, make it quick, Baron, though I expect that is how it usually happens. I'm like, got him.
So rude. And then he's like, God, you suck. But he's like taking off his shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And who's like this dude that's like watching them? There's like a camera in this room, I guess.
I don't even think it's a camera. I think it's just a window.
Is it just like a peephole?
Yeah, I think it's just like a weird, an oddly placed peephole.
Dude, I think it is a window. And he's just like looking. He's
looking his lips. That's sicko.
Yeah, looking at his lip is, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
A little out of pocket. Leto proves his fighting skills when he beats up the like mech fighter machines that they have. And back in the desert, Pardo Kynes admits to betraying the Harkonnen men because it was just the right thing to do. And then the Freemen take the Harkonnen bodies to use for water, I think. Is that a thing? They like take dead bodies and get water out of it?
I don't know.
Because that's what they said. They're taking the bodies for water, but I don't know how that works. But then Pardo is shown the Siege, which is the Freemen hideout. And he meets their leader, who's super skeptical about this dude, but he's willing to listen to Pardo's ideas for Dune. And I think that this whole situation's funny because he has like no social awareness of like this situation.
Yeah.
Because it really seems like all these Freemen dudes like want to kill him. They're like, this is an outsider. But he's just like geeking out over like all these dudes and like what they've built and stuff. And he's like having like, so much fun.
He just thinks like everyone's his friend.
Yeah. He thinks it's like a museum or something.
He's
some
a
shit.
Kid in kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But like,
no one could possibly hate me.
Clearly, like the leader dude who doesn't have an eyeball because of something that scratched it, you know, he's like really not fucking with this guy.
Probably not a worm, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine a worm would just scratch him.
Yeah, it's probably just some other beast.
Yeah, but if there are other beasts.
Mm-hmm. It's just worms.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the Emperor's son, the one that's trying to kill the Emperor, is planning on monopolizing a synthetic spice to gain more power. So he like hires some scientists to help him in secret. And Leto is still on 9, but he wants to explore the whole like underground city. So he goes off at night to see what the streets are like. And he stumbles on a rebellion that's like creating thinking machines to overthrow House of Vernius. And they notice Leto and they chase him, but he like barely escapes. And then
he goes into like his first class elevator that
I guess locks really fucking fast.
I think it's like a force field kind of thing that he can walk through if he's got the right card thing or whatever.
Wait, that's sick.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's like the only way I can imagine it to where it made sense.
Well, it looks like it has doors, but I don't know. You could be right. Actually, no, it doesn't really. And then Duncan Idaho is taken off planet. So he's no longer being hunted, but he's sold to be a ship rat to some guy. And they make their way to House Atreides. And that's the whole trade. So
yep,
probably should have been a little bit longer because I don't know if a whole lot really got resolved. But
yeah, I think it just like leaves you with some cliffhangers.
Yeah, I guess Duncan does get off planet and he's like not being hunted anymore. So it's like a new thing.
I think there's something like 3 trades of House Atreides.
Okay.
You know, so this is kind of like a little teaser if you mm-hmm. want some more.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah. It's, I think it was cool.
Yeah. I think if you want more Dune stuff, this is like a pretty solid prequel, I would say.
Yeah. You don't want to actually read.
Yeah.
Get some pictures and see young versions of old people.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
But let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Yep.
Back Matter Matters.
We got some covers, and they got some bangers here, dude.
They sure do.
Dan Mora.
Yeah.
One of my favorites right now. We got Paul Pope.
That was neat.
J.G. Jones. I think he's the guy that was doing 52, right? Is that him?
He did the covers, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty good. Rod Reese.
And Wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. You always seem to forget that.
I do. Mike Del Mundo. Some more Michael Walsh.
Oh, my God. This one's sick.
This one's great.
It looks like a like a 70s like Star Wars poster.
Yeah, he's got such a good sense of like just graphic design in general.
Yeah.
So I think he's nailed that.
He's got some Jesse Lonergan circles and shit.
Yeah. Evan Cagle and Brian Haberlin, who I'm not familiar with. And then we see some script to page, which I always think is interesting. And it shows like the initial pencils, the inks, then the colors. But what's interesting is that this like issue 4 page 12 page was like totally flipped at the end. Because when he penciled it, it was like everything was flipped. And I guess like once they colored it, they looked at it when it was flipped and they're like, this is probably better.
Yeah, it's like.
Which I've never seen before.
Like, is there a problem with us just flipping it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and I guess
is they that just, hose thing going in the right nostril?
I think maybe they just realized it just reads left to right better, like visually just looking at it. I don't even know if there's any dialogue on this page. I assume there was, but.
Yeah,
I
there think, was.
Yeah, there must have been. And they were like, yeah, this just flows a little bit better this way, I guess. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, or maybe. Maybe fucked up.
It could be fucked. It could be fucked up too.
Anyway,
but yeah, solid back matter. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give it like a micro dose of spice, Nathan.
Oh, okay, nice.
not party level spice, but you know, just having a good buzz. You know, a nice little trip for
at a party. On a racket
or doing like a thing you don't really want to do, but you have some spice to make it better, you know?
Oh, okay. Nice.
Like grocery shopping or something.
So you were high while you're reading this book, is what you're saying. You were on some spice?
And yeah.
I would do this. I would do like a medium sized level of popcorn in the Dune popcorn bucket.
Ooh.
And I'm reaching my hand in.
So you got
to
reach deep to get it.
I got
to
reach real. I got to really, you know.
You got to elbow it, dude.
Yeah. I got to go in deep. And I'm digging in deep. And I'm like, I don't know what's down here. And I'm eating it. But I'm like, but it tastes good. You know, that's how I feel like this whole book was. I'm like, just reaching my fucking arm in there. And I'm grabbing some stuff. And I don't really know what it is. But it tastes good.
Are you going to go see Dune at AMC to get the bucket?
I should. Dude. I should just see the second one, too.
No, dude, you'll actually enjoy it.
Yeah, I know I will. I'll make Sophie watch it this weekend. I don't think we're doing much.
Let's get into the poll list.
Poll list, colon, shove it in your box.
I guess we just do it together now.
Yeah.
The poll list, what did you shove in your box?
What do you got?
Pretty small week. I picked up Moon Man. There's a second printing that hit my store.
Oh, yeah.
So I got the first issue of the second printing of the first issue. So I'm going to check that out.
I got that on Omnibus.
Yeah. Yeah. You have fucking Omnibus now.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Did they ever like announce it on any socials?
I think I just like found it. Like it didn't look like a lot of people have downloaded it yet.
Yeah.
Probably. And it like seemed like.
Maybe it's like slightly, a soft launch.
Maybe. It seemed like slightly buggy.
Yeah.
You know, it might be just kind of like a beta kind of thing.
Or maybe they tried to have it be like a sandbox.
Maybe. Like
launch and they like accidentally posted it on the Apple Store. I don't know how easy it is to do that.
I don't
even
know why I was looking for it. I think I was trying to look on their website and then I saw it in like the App Store on like a computer. And then just looked it up on my phone and they had it. So,
nice.
But it's cool because like it connects to like the phone store, you know, the App Store.
Yeah,
so you buy it that way, not like putting in your information and making some account or whatever. It's just connect. It's like how you, if you were to pay for like an app or something, it's like an in-app purchase,
right? Okay,
basically. Yeah. So
like how Comixology used to be.
No, Comixology was connected to like Amazon, you know, and then that's how you put in your payment information,
right?
So do you?
If you want to go buy a book, it uses the card information that's on the App Store.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah,
so that's like if you were to buy something with Google Play or whatever.
Right. Okay.
Or whatever's on Samsung.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So
cool. So yeah, I got Moon Man, Phantom Road number 9. I got to catch up with that a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm like 5 behind. And then Hack Slash by Zoe Thorogood number 3.
Number 3. Did you read 1 or 2?
Nope. I'm gonna.
I got those. Godzilla, War for Humanity, number 4.
That's the Andrew McLean one?
Yeah.
I saw the cover while I was there.
Is it fucking sick?
I was like, dude, I should have been reading this.
Oh, man, it's so good. Rare Flavors, number 4.
Uh-huh.
I need to read 1, 2, and 3. New Burn, number 15.
New Burn?
Yeah. I think that's ending soon.
Yeah, because it's old burn now. It's my favorite joke. Dumb.
And then I think What If Venom number one came out.
There was a Venom thing that I definitely didn't pick up.
Yeah, so I think the first one's like Loki or something. So I might check that out.
Yeah, I think Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, there's like a second printing of that like came out.
Of number two?
Of number one.
Okay.
And I was like, is this already like a spinoff? But I looked like to the end, to the last page. And I remember that because it's very graphic. Hmm. And I was like, okay, this is the second printing. But I tried seeing if they had the rest of them there because I haven't seen it like at all on the wall.
Yeah.
So I need to like order them and hunt them down.
I think three will come out. I'll just get the trade like because.
We should read it, I think. We should try and get somebody whoever worked on that. I don't even know.
Right when the trade comes out.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
I would really like to. I think it was really strong first issue.
I think just the concept and how much people like it, I'm like super in for it.
Yeah.
I almost bought it on Omnibus. I'm like, I'll just wait for the trade.
Yeah. I might just buy it digitally if I can.
Does it seem like, I know you only read like the first issue, but does it seem like something that's going to be ongoing, or you think it'll just be like a mini?
I think what they set up is like just an arc.
Mm-hmm.
But
that could go on.
It could go on. Yeah. To me, it feels like the first season of like Dexter.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, they could have probably ended Dexter after like one season, you know, but
that would have sucked.
Yeah, that would have sucked. But because it's a good show. So, but like, I could see this book being essentially just first season of Dexter kind of story.
Right.
And then they just like wrap it up and that's it. But I don't know. Maybe if it's, I mean, if it's getting like second printings.
It seems to be doing really well.
It seems
well.
To be doing pretty good, yeah.
Is that a Boom book or like a...
Boom, I think.
Okay, yeah. Did you read anything?
Yeah, I read lots of stuff.
Let's hear it.
I finished Joker Year One.
Is that over?
Yeah, it was just three issues, I think.
Oh, I thought it was like four.
I'm pretty sure it was only three because it ended.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's no more.
Yeah. Pretty cool. It was different than what I thought. It doesn't really feel like a Year One book. Like if it didn't say Joker Year One...
It's just a cop-out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. And there's like some early Joker stuff, which I like. But there's, I don't know why they did it like week after week, because there's definitely like a lot of Batman in it still. And I think that's what you said, is that they were nervous about not having Batman in the book or whatever.
Maybe, I don't know.
But really good Andrea Sorrentino stuff.
Did he do all the interiors?
No, he did the modern. I think there's like...
So like half of it?
He did like, yeah, parts of it. Like maybe like five pages for each issue.
Okay.
And yeah, dude, his Joker, he's got like a really long neck, and he's always like kind of hunched over with like a really long neck, and so it's just like the way that he pulls it off is really fucking good.
Yeah.
And does a good Batman. And then Giuseppe Camuncoli does like a really good like early story, and it's like basically about like Joker and Red Hood gang stuff happening, and it's also a really good Commissioner Gordon story as well.
Sweet.
So I liked it. World's Finest 24.
Oh, yeah, you're caught up on
that. 25. Yeah, I'm caught up on that. They've wrapped up the Kingdom Come stuff, and it had Darkseid in it. Ooh. And a Dan Mora Darkseid is really fucking cool.
Neat.
So I liked that. Green Lantern number 8, good Green Lantern stuff. We're seeing some Blue Lantern Core shit, which is like my favorite of the like emotional spectrum.
Okay. And
haven't seen him in a while, so I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Did I talk about Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong last week? I couldn't remember. If I did.
Probably.
If I did. Sorry, but it's good.
Okay.
And then I read Giant Robot Hellboy 1-3. So I read all of it.
Nice.
It fucking rules.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks like it rules.
It rules. I have no idea what happened, though. Visually, like that Duncan, the artist Duncan Figrado or something like that.
Duncan Idaho?
No, it's not Duncan Idaho.
Ah.
He's in Dune, Daniel. You weren't listening to me. But no, it's like Duncan Figrado. He nails the look of Hellboy.
For sure.
Like, I had to look.
Did he do the covers?
I don't think so.
Okay. That might have been Mignola.
But I had to, like, look back in the front and be like, is this Mike Mignola doing it? Because it, like, has that energy of, like, Mignola Hellboy.
That's what you want.
Yeah, and it's really good. And, like, it's just fucking awesome. The story was, like... a little bit confusing, but I didn't care because there's a giant robot Hellboy fighting like some fucking monsters.
Yeah.
And the monsters look like Mignola like drew them or like designed them at least. And so like a lot of those monsters have like that like dead look in their eyes, you know, that I feel like a lot of Mignola
like
creatures
have. Pupils?
Yeah, like no pupils, but like then there's like parts of like the rendering that looks, you know, really inspired by him. And it's just cool.
Nice.
So definitely recommend. That's everything I read.
I read Hack Slash Back to School number 2.
Nice.
Pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of neat tools that she used in this, you know, that you don't normally see. And like
a fighting tool.
The things she did in this, you don't see in like other books. Like there is like pixel art, you know?
Oh, like the creative art tools.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant like.
Not like the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Zoe Thorogood.
Yeah. She's always been pretty creative.
Yeah. She's very good.
I appreciate that. Heard the third one's pretty sexy.
They're all kind of sexy.
Okay. I should check them out. I have all of them. I think this is the last one, right? Number 3. And now she's doing something else.
Is it only 3 issues?
I think she's only doing 3.
I could be wrong. Like they've been spread out. So I feel like she would have had time, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's been doing cons and stuff. And then I read Night Fever, Nathan.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that book's fucking rad.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like,
okay, good.
I was like, okay, I'll start this.
And I couldn't tell if I was overhyping it. No, but, okay.
It was properly hyped. I was like reading it. I'm like, I'll start this and then I'll finish the rest tomorrow. And then like I looked at how much was left and there's like a little tiny bit of pages. Yeah, dude. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to finish it today. It
fucking draws you in. I love just like the concept of like he put himself like in this situation and now he's like kind of in a little bit too deep now.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, what would I do in this situation? Like, it's kind of like, you know, like what's going to happen kind of shit. And it was like really,
yeah,
it was really cool.
I think I just read it too fast, you know, like,
yeah,
because the pacing, I kind of took advantage of it
because yeah,
it is not like dense, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think I got through it a little too fast, but yeah, we should review that book soon.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, that was good.
Are you glad you didn't read it on a plane like I did? Because there's some boobies.
There's not that many boobies.
There's not that many, but when they're there, they're big.
Dude.
Or at least it feels like they're big.
Compared to when you're on a plane. Where the body was, dude, this shit was like, this shit was like a children's book. Kids book. Anyway, yeah. Did you watch anything new?
I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Ooh.
1-6.
Nice.
Pretty much. That show's so good.
Is it so good?
I like watched the first episode and I was like, I'm hooked. I'm in.
Yeah, I was like, I love this vibe.
I love how like the pacing of it's so good.
Right. Yeah.
Like they
yeah.
just like as soon as you like start to question more about the company that they're working for, they give you some like a little bit to nibble on.
Yeah,
you know?
little nugget.
And then you're like, I don't know.
Little taster.
And then sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I really believe their relationship that much, and then like something happens and like I'm like, this is a really funny like way for them to interact. And
did you watch that snow episode?
Yeah,
this fucking snow mission, dude.
A snow mission.
I was like, that place looks sick.
And then he gets like saved and he's like super cold and he's like, I can't feel my dick. And he's like, I need you to like rub it or whatever. And it's really funny.
Yeah,
I got up to like the therapy like episode.
That episode was cool.
And yeah, like a lot of their episodes are really creative.
I'm like, Sarah Paulson's in this.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson. Ron Perlman was running around in it. He's fucking hilarious in that book.
Yeah.
They're just like pushing him around pretty much, trying to keep him alive as the mission. And I thought that was such a good episode.
And he's like.
So the action's really good too.
Yeah, no, I liked a lot of it.
I'm just a big Donald Glover fan.
I like binged it. I think it all came out at once.
Yeah.
So.
I'd like
it's super bingeable.
Stop myself from binging. Like I could have like finished it by now, I think, but it would have been like a lot of like I would have stayed up like super late.
Did Sophia watch it?
She's like half watching it. She's like trying to do homework while I watch it, but I could see her out of the corner of my eye, like not looking at her screen and like looking at the TV.
Yeah,
and I'm like, ooh, she likes it.
Yeah, no,
but it's super fun. I definitely recommend.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I'm always just like. Happy when you watch a thing that I've watched and I tell you to watch, you know?
Speaking of that, I also watched Saltburn.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to, but I went over and I stayed over at my friend's house at Parker's for his wife's birthday. And we were like, we could watch whatever movie you want. And she chose Saltburn, a movie that she's seen before, and chose to watch it again.
That's awesome.
And what the fuck was that?
Do you like it?
No.
Is it so good?
No, it's not. I actually don't think it's good.
I fucking loved it.
Like, it's one of those movies where you can tell, like, it's made well.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I finished it and I was like, I didn't like that.
But I just love, like, how uncomfortable it makes you feel.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, these, like, situations and stuff and just, like, how absolutely unhinged this dude is.
He is pretty unhinged. I do think that if you know what like the weird shit is in this movie, it doesn't like hit as hard.
Sure. I only knew about the bathtub.
The bathtub thing, I don't know if I didn't know about it, if it would be like that creepy. I thought it was going to be like more apparent that there was like cum in there that he was drinking. It just seemed like it was very like, it just seemed like bath water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was fucking weird. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. But one of the friends we had there, we would just drink whenever she thought something was hot. And I think it was really funny when she was like, ah, like she was just like at the most random parts. And I'm like, really? And like, I can't tell if I think Barry Keoghan or Kogan, whatever his name is,
yeah.
Keoghan. I don't know if, I can't tell if he's handsome or not. Because there's some angles where I'm like, he looks pretty cool. And then other angles,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, right?
But, you know, some people might be into that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Jacob Elordi, really good in that movie, though.
Yeah.
I think, is he normally, what is he? Is he normally British? Or is he like a British?
British, yeah.
Okay. Because I think he did a really good accent, but I don't know if that's what he normally is.
Yeah, I think everyone in that was like actually British.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you remember in the Barbie movie, there was like that pregnant Barbie?
Yeah.
So that's, she directed and wrote that.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, quite the juxtaposition.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's like a thing at the end that happens and I'm like, okay. And then it's like, oh, I was doing this whole time. And I was like, whatever. So I didn't fuck with it that hard.
Yeah, at the end, I'm like, really? And so, I don't know. I think at that point, I was just like, ready for it to be over.
Kind
just,
of thing. Yeah, I was too. I definitely was. But he's just like fucking everybody too. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird movie. I maybe would have liked a little bit more if I didn't know what was going to happen, really, than like those two parts.
I think I told you about it at like Christmas. You know?
You did, yeah.
So, but that was like when it was like super hyped, yeah. You know? And so I think if you were seeing it, then there would have been more surprises to it. But mm-hmm. It sounds like you didn't really know that much. You probably knew about as much as I did.
I knew about like the two weird parts.
Okay. Anyway, I got another golden opportunity.
Okay.
Where Sarah's like, you can put on whatever you want. I'm like, let's go.
And you fucked it up last time, right? Because you put on
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
This time I did great.
Okay.
And I put on Godzilla versus Kong.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Good movie.
I'm ready for Godzilla X Kong, New Empire, whatever.
God, I love that movie.
Yeah.
I specifically remember having so much fun just watching the scene where they're fighting on the aircraft carrier.
That was sick.
Remember when they flipped that whole bitch around?
Yeah, that was scary.
I was like, that's absurd.
The fact that King Kong jumped from one to another, I'm like, that shit should be going down, you know? Because he's got to be impossibly heavy.
Yeah. And I was like, I fuck with this movie. Heavy.
did you fuck with how King Kong, like, was it New American Sign Language?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool. He's like talking to like the little girl or whatever.
Right? I just kept thinking about like how you would teach a big monkey that, you know?
Like you would a regular monkey, I guess. Because they do it in Planet of the Apes and I'm like, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Anyway. So it was neat. And what was cool is like when I was watching it, Sarah, like, I think she wasn't going to really watch it like actively, but then she got really attached to like King Kong. You know? She like whenever like Godzilla like would throw a right hook at him, she's like, leave him alone. I'm like, they're supposed to fight right now.
Is that the one that ends in like Japan?
Yeah.
With the podcaster?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was funny.
The Mechagodzilla was in it. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, they had like King Ghidorah's head in Mechagodzilla so that like some other guy can connect to it from his like Apple Vision Pro or whatever.
And I'm like, Vision Pro, yeah.
I'm like, this is dumb.
It is dumb, but it's the best.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, that final scene when it was like all dark and the city's all neon and shit. Very cool. That happened? I know that
in
they
the
like
what?
In like the final fight between them.
Oh yeah, it was like nighttime.
It was like nighttime. Yeah, it was like pretty glowy. And like Godzilla wins, but then Mechagodzilla comes out and they're like, ooh, actually I need your help.
Yeah. And then they just like fucking, they're like clear, like King Kong.
Oh, yeah, dude, I forgot about that.
What does that mean when you do that? Defibrillate him?
Yeah.
With like,
it was
some weird battery thing that was in like one of the ships that they needed.
Yeah, it was something insane. But I remember watching it. I'm like, this checks out.
Yeah, the Hollow Earth stuff was cool. I was like, this is crazy. Because I think that's like shit that I've seen in like comics.
Like
Hollow Earth.
The shit in the Earth?
Yeah.
I liked when he jumped And then he like went onto the other side.
Yeah.
Remember that? Because I was like, gravity must be really weird here. And then they just like fuck with that idea where he jumps from like the roof to like the floor or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I just remember that visually.
One of my favorite parts is like at like the aircraft carrier fight, Godzilla's like under one of the aircraft carriers and he like loads up to blast him. And then King Kong jumps off and it's like in slow motion when like he jumps off just in time for to miss the blast. And I'm like, this is peak ridiculous. Cinema. Yeah.
I keep thinking about that tweet and it's like, this is what fiction was made for. And yeah, then I'm yeah. like, yeah, this is totally it.
Yeah, it was tons of fun. And
you hadn't seen that one before?
No, never. So like Mechagodzilla was like spoiled for me, but they definitely heavily hint at it throughout the movie before you even see it.
Yeah, even when I was seeing it, I was like, there's probably gonna be Mechagodzilla.
it was dumb because when they show him, like Brian Tyree Henry is like, it's Robot Godzilla, and then like Sarah's like, it's Robot Godzilla. I'm like, no, it's Mechagodzilla. And then the kid's like, no, it's Mechagodzilla. And she's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, I just know this.
You guys do the whole scene?
I didn't know it was coming. You know, we just happened to repeat what they said.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, good movie.
Yeah.
It definitely like is hollow to all the destruction that's happening and how many.
Oh, totally.
How many lives were lost probably. And yeah. How much property damage there is. But like.
It's kind of just like, just turn off your brain kind of movie.
It was for sure. Super like dumb Hollywood shit, you know?
Yeah.
But I was here for it.
But like it knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lean into that and I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's funny how all over the Godzilla shit you are right now.
Yeah, I know.
And it's good. Like a lot of it's good.
I like watching it. Mm-hmm. And I've been meaning to watch it. So, and we saw Madame Web, Nathan.
We saw Madame Web.
Yeah, the best movie of the year.
It's probably made a web $1 billion so far. Which is good.
Yeah, they had to make up a new number for how much money this movie is saying it. And they called it a web billion.
So many web billions of dollars it's going to make. We saw it with our shitty movie crew, or the shitty flick click, as I like to call it.
That's a good one.
And I thought it was good.
I thought this movie was going to be a tragedy, Nathan, but turns out it's comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
It totally is.
It
went in expecting a zero.
I haven't laughed this hard at like a comedy in like years.
I did not expect.
I feel like.
Oh, yeah, true. Because like, there are some like insane things that happen.
It was hard to tell if like it was intentional.
Dude.
With some of the shit that happens. I'm like, this is too funny.
Someone had to have known.
No one like said okay to all this shit happening and didn't chuckle a little bit, you know?
I, like, need to see, like, a documentary about, like, how this...
Yeah, I would
like,
love that.
Who said no to some of the decisions there?
Yeah. I need like, someone going over contracts.
Someone knew that this was bad. At least one.
That Dakota was, like, Johnson, probably.
I literally don't know if she did.
She hasn't even seen it.
I think she knows it's bad now, but I don't know if she knew it was bad when they were making it.
Maybe.
Also, she's not a very good actor, right?
No, I wouldn't say she's good based off of this.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been good in stuff.
Like what?
She was in like The Social Network for like a second.
She was?
Yeah. She smashed like Justin Timberlake.
Oh, funny. I know 50 Shades, but I haven't seen that. But what else has she been in?
Oh, she was in.
Because like a lot of people know.
She's in Bad Times at the El Royale.
Ooh, okay.
But everyone was good in that. Yeah. So I
haven't seen that yet, but.
It's good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people forgot about it. I forgot about it, but
okay.
So
anyway, let's get into it.
So I don't think we need to like retrace what happens necessarily. Like if you've seen it, you've seen it. But what I thought was really funny is like it starts off in Peru,
mm-hmm.
and there's this like Peruvian tribe of these spider people.
Yeah,
that look kind of cool. Honestly, they're painted red for some reason, and then they had these thorns that kind of look like
the webbing
design. You mm-hmm. know,
of a Spider-Man,
like the
suit.
Raised webbing on Tobey Maguire. And yeah.
they move really awkwardly.
Yeah, they just kind of run on branches.
Yeah.
And they like take Madame Web's mom into like a pool, but they have like very clear American accents.
Yeah.
And no, they didn't even try, you know. And they're like, it'll be okay. Your baby will come back.
Your baby, it'll be fine.
We're going to sting you with a spider.
Yeah. And that's how Mrs. Webb was born. Her name's Webb. Like the last name is Webb.
W-E-B-B.
When they first said that, I laughed because I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Which is really funny. How does she, how does the baby get back to America?
Maybe they...
Who brings her back?
Was the baby born?
The baby was born in Peru.
In the water.
In the water. Who brings her back?
I mean, she's not American.
What? Yeah, she's not. Is she there illegally in America?
Wait, if your parents are... Well, no, yeah. No.
But how do they prove that, like, it was that she was born to... That her mom birthed her, you know?
Well, there's other people on this, like, expedition or whatever.
Yeah, but did they fly her... I guess they flew her back,
I
right?
I assume. Dude, I don't know. She was that fucking baby on an airplane just crying the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah, she must have been. It was great. So, that was just... And she has like a Peruvian birth certificate. So like who took her to a hospital?
Did I don't know. Maybe.
I think that that was like part of her fucking.
I didn't need that. You
I didn't
know?
Need that either. But
like, let's just skip to this very slow like ambulance driving, you know?
Yeah. Ben Parker is in this.
Yeah. Adam Scott.
I think he's pretty good.
He's probably the best part. I'd say best actor in there. He's,
yeah, definitely the most established actor.
He was just like doing like the Adam Scott thing, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
So.
Just Ben Wyatt.
But with
much.
A beard. Yeah.
Yeah, with a beard. So I thought he was pretty good. They say the with great power comes great responsibility line like three times, but they don't say that.
They're like, when you take responsibility, power will come.
Yeah. Like, so, and like, they like. It happens, and then it takes me like 2 seconds for the gears in my head to turn and be like, is that the Spider-Man line?
Because like, I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know how, you know?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that they were going to try and force that in. They did it like three times.
It was really funny. So she's got these like time travel, not time travel, time powers where she can see the future yeah. like a little.
Yeah, like a couple
like,
minutes.
Like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what was, I thought they did that kind of well. Just like explain, like showing what she sure. can do.
Yeah.
But like, it was just kind of annoying where she like relived a moment or whatever. And she's like, we did this already. I'm like, I would know immediately what's happening.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
And so that was just like a little annoying where she didn't pick up on that. And they keep like showing how she's not aware what's happening.
It took her like three times to be like, okay.
Yeah, it took saving a bird to figure it out, I think.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I thought she was going to let that fucking bird die. One thing I think they overdid was there was a lot of broken glass that looked like a web.
Broken glass that looked like a web?
So, like, when the bird flew into the window, it, like, the glass, like, cracked and it made, like, a web formation.
I think it always looked like that, no, with a bird doing that.
Well, like... They had broken glass that looked like a web like five times.
Really? I want to watch and just look for that.
Dude, I was annoyed by the end. I was really? Like, they all look like fucking webs.
Was there some on like the windshield of that car crash?
Yes.
Oh.
There's also one where they were putting out the fire and the ambulance was there. And there's a shot where it's like from inside the building looking out the window and it's looking at Mrs. Webb.
Yeah.
And like that was I think that was the first time you see it, and I was like, okay, it's kind of clever. And then they did it like six more times.
It's like her signature. It's like her call sign.
Yeah, know? Or something. Well, I think they just think that like visually this is a good idea, and I think it was. But then they did it a couple more times.
Like,
and
let's put in Easter eggs, guys.
Yeah, well, like they did it a couple more times, and I'm like, it's not that clever. Like, you know. Like,
yeah.
And so I was just like a little bit annoyed by that. Also, what I was annoyed by is that the super suits that are in the trailer, like it's all in the trailer. If you're going to see like Sydney Sweeney as like a silk or whatever she's supposed to be.
I think she's Spider-Girl.
I don't think so. I don't even know.
Yeah.
They're not there. They're just in visions.
Yeah. They're going to be superheroes. And that's the visions that we see.
Yeah. But they never are in this movie in the present.
I thought the outfits are pretty cool, actually.
They are. I just wish I could see them.
Yeah.
That wasn't a vision.
That was a bit of a bummer. I don't know. It's like they're making a prequel to what this movie should have been, you know?
Yeah. Like, I would expect the prequel comic of what...
To be this, essentially.
And then the movie was what we saw, you know, in the visions.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I heard that... The original script of this was kind of like a Terminator kind of thing where like they're going back in time to like protect Peter Parker from and keep him from being born because like that Ezekiel dude was going to try and kill him when he's a baby.
They're going to stop him from being born.
No, stop Ezekiel from killing him.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And keep him from make sure he gets born.
Okay.
You know?
Got it.
And I'm like, that might have been better.
That makes more sense because, like, I'm pretty sure Peter Parker gets born in this.
Yeah.
but they don't name him Peter.
Yeah, no name drop.
They never call Ben Parker, I don't think.
Yeah.
And
he talks about how he's met a girl.
Yeah.
And how he
and there's no real reason
how he's gonna go to Queens, and then Madam Web's like, you'll get shot in Queens.
Yeah. Or something like that. And there's like no real reason for like
him to be there
or that person to be pregnant and be giving childbirth, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just weird what they ended on.
There's
Ezekiel is interesting because his whole motivation is that no, he's not. But his whole like thing is that he's seen visions of him dying in the future in his apartment by those three spider girls, which is why he's trying to kill the girls.
The apartment he currently lives in.
The apartment that he currently lives in.
He just move.
That's what I was saying. I asked Parker, I was like, can he just move? And then he's not dying in his apartment.
You know, real estate's real expensive in New York.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe it's rent controlled. I would stay there too.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool pad.
They should have said that. Also,
there's this bit where like all the girls are together. They get together and then they're just talking about all their woes, you know, like all the shit that's like it's wrong with their life, why they can't go home and shit like that.
Yeah. Why their parents like don't care.
Sydney Sweeney's like her parents don't really like her or whatever. And then like the black girls, like her parents are like out of the country.
Yeah.
They're and like then they business. Go to this like Mexican girl. And then the first thing she says, like, my dad was deported. And I
Why'd that make you laugh?
I don't know. It's just like, oh, let's write a sob story for like a Latina. And then like, she's like, my dad was deported.
Oh, that is
so fucking funny. Cause it's just like lazy.
It is pretty lazy,
but it's also kind of funny.
Like, yeah, it is pretty lazy. I think. Yeah. It was weird that, cause they clearly had to come up with a reason why they just don't want to go home. You know?
Why they have to stay with
in like
Cassie Webb or whatever,
which is pretty insane.
The ending fight scene was
phenomenal.
Nuts.
This is like, where everything
this is where like it like
came together perfectly.
Like my review of the movie was going down and down and down, but this definitely gave an extra point.
Dude, yeah, it brought it up.
You know,
there's a bunch of fireworks going off. She gets like a Captain America shield at some point.
It's just like
a piece of metal that she found that has a handle.
Yeah,
and she's able to block fireworks with it.
And she gets like weird Doctor Strange powers where she can just like project herself in three different places because they're all hanging about to fall to their death.
The same point. Yeah.
But then she goes and grabs them and then talks through them. She's like, I got you. You know? Yeah.
I think what they tried to do was since she can see the future, she can control where she is for the present. But then she's just able to like in different random timelines help each one individually. But then for some reason, they're all happening at the same time. And it was weird. It was dumb, obviously. But I do really like just that part where they were all in. I like the process of them all getting in danger.
Yeah.
Like hanging off the side of the building. Because the skater girl like skates to try and take down Ezekiel. And then Ezekiel just like knocks her off.
Yeah. She just like grinds on this piece of metal down this other metal like thing. I'm like, you could probably slip so easily. Yeah,
I just think it was funny because they're like, this is why we made her a skater for this moment right here where she almost dies. And then Sydney Sweeney's character just tries to run up to him and she gets fucking decked in the face. And that was probably where I laughed the hardest because it looked so brutal. She got knocked out and then she's hanging. And yeah, that whole thing was insane.
And then to be true to the comics, Nathan, they made sure to paralyze and blind her because she fell in like the river.
She fell in the river and a firework hit her face, I think. And
that's why she's blind. Past her face, I guess.
I didn't realize she was blind at first because when they pull her out and do CPR on her, her eyes look really weird.
They're fucking blue. Yeah.
Well, her eyes are blue normally. And I'm like, wow, they look more blue.
Like fogged over blue, yeah. You know?
And I was like, wow, that's weird. And then like cuts to the present or whatever. And she's like blind. And I'm like, she got blind from that.
And then
it pans out and she's paralyzed too. And I'm like, she's fucking paralyzed.
And she's like looking out a window for some reason.
I'm
like, she's blind.
Yeah. Why are you looking? She goes,
she like, likes the warmth by the window like a cat.
And the first thing Sydney Sweeney says in that scene where she's in the wheelchair, she's like, how's your vision? To a blind person.
Still fucking blind.
Yeah, I still have these glasses on.
I mean, maybe she's expected to bring it back or whatever, but
I don't know. But so that's like now that part of her identity.
So Does that still mean she can see the future if she doesn't ever actually see the future?
I think so.
She just sees like a projection of what the future is?
Yeah, she just remembers what it's like to see.
Okay. Wait,
yeah, you're right. Because if it's like in the future. So it's
not something she's going to see because yeah. she cannot see.
It'd have to be like, yeah.
So
it's not like she's not seeing the future from like a first person perspective.
Yeah. There's this dumb like reveal where like her mom is in the Amazon because she's looking for this spider that would cure this like
her unborn child's
neurological
disorder, disease, something.
Yeah, that would paralyze her, I guess, or whatever. And
she's paralyzed anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, so did something get knocked loose where she got paralyzed, you know, or was it just the fall?
It must have been the fall.
Because she needed to like fall into water or whatever, like in like a car in order for like her web powers to start working.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, dude, there's so many questions.
I like when she was being checked out after the ambulance fall and she's like, "Doctor, I keep seeing the future. What's wrong with me?" Like you would have the self-awareness to be like, this is not a thing that like a doctor can physically diagnose, right? That's insane.
Be like, "Oh, I've seen this before."
Like, "Oh yeah, that's a common symptom for when you fall into water."
That'll go away in like 2 days.
Yeah, I know. I was like, "What the fuck is this?" But yeah, just absurd at the end how it all wrapped up. Also,
how is there not a scene where she goes straight to a casino and plays like roulette?
Oh,
you know what I mean.
That's probably how they afford that like crazy apartment that they're in.
Who? Like at the end. Oh yeah. Well, it seems like he only has.
No, not visions. Ezekiel.
Not Ezekiel? Who? No,
Cassie. Because they're in a pretty fancy looking place at like the very last scene.
I think that's just her normal apartment, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, I had like a big web looking window.
Yeah. So
that was custom.
So they have a new layer. My question is, how do the three girls get their powers?
We don't know.
Does she get the spider?
Maybe.
And like infect them?
Man, that's in the sequel.
I guess. Because they don't have any particular reason to have powers in the future?
No. I mean, does anybody?
No.
You just get powers. Well,
but they're all spider powers.
So isn't, I only remember Sydney Sweeney really having some sort of power. It was like this fake, like energy web thing. And then
she had webs.
Then the skater girl just had like a iron spider suit.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
Well, I think those were for real legs. I don't think that it was mechanical.
Whoa, that's even cooler.
Yeah.
And then what did the other one do anything?
Like force fields or something? I can't remember.
Ah. Anyway.
So I think what is implied is that she goes to get the spider somehow and then just forces them to become superheroes and infects them with the.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, the one thing that I had a question on, when she goes back to the Peruvian forest.
Yeah.
And she talks to the dude that like helped.
Who was a part of this tribe.
Like
it was some weird cult.
Yeah. And she like, he's like
showered.
He recognizes her.
Yeah.
But he's not in like a weird tribe suit thing. Like with webbing and stuff all over him. He's just in clothes.
Also, he's on vacation.
There's nobody else there. This used to be like a whole tribe of people and now he's the only one there.
Yeah.
So like what happened to them?
They just broke up.
I guess so. They're like, "Ah, man, fuck this. Nothing interesting has been happening lately." And so they just like leave.
Yeah.
Insane. Good movie.
Yeah, I loved it.
I expected a zero going in and I left with like a two because of how insane it was.
I was like, it's still a movie. People still worked on it, you know, regardless of the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd still have given it a one. And the thing is like, I gave it like a three, right?
Okay.
Or maybe it was a four. I can't remember.
Like upon walking out?
Yeah, like leaving.
Okay.
Because like it was hilarious.
It is.
And it wasn't like as boring as I thought it'd be. Because like a bad movie, I'm like, oh, it's not in. It's like.
Not interesting.
Not done well. And it's boring, you know? But this one was actually just really funny. Like it wasn't as boring. It makes like.
It was like a hot mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
and then just a lot of things that were.
Apparently, there's a scene where you can see a boom mic.
I'm sure that's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good movie.
Yeah, go see it. Highly recommend.
Get drunk with your friends and watch it for sure.
Get bags. You definitely see it with people. I think knowing that it was bad
helps
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we went like the weekend after.
Yeah,
it came out.
Because
like, if you can't go into this thinking like, impress me,
this is gonna
you
be
know,
sick.
Like yeah. this is gonna be a good movie.
And validate I'm gonna, the I'm superhero like genre for me, real quick. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not gonna like it. You know? I mean, you might. You're not gonna think it's good.
Yeah.
But you'll have a good time, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably see this movie one more time in my life.
Probably. I might need a good laugh.
Yeah.
Maybe when like a few other like Sony things come out.
Yeah.
But some people are like, oh, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, I actually don't think that.
And I keep thinking about what like the worst movie I've ever seen is, but
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Except, yeah.
Anyway, did you play any video games or anything?
Nothing just
more
new.
Helldivers?
More Helldivers. And I've been playing a lot of Super Auto Pets.
Oh, more of that?
Yeah. Good game.
We started A Way Out.
Huh?
We started A Way Out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Where are you at right now?
So it only took like 30 minutes to get out of prison.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I thought this is the whole fucking game. I'm like, are we done?
It is a little bit weird to get out like, and then you're like, we did it. We had a way out.
Yeah. And but so yeah,
there's more to it.
Yeah, we got to that bit. And the one thing that I wanted to mention is like, you like go through like the process of like, you know, going to prison or whatever, you get off the bus and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's the bit where you're like in the showers or wherever they hose you down.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking Vincent has a hog on him. Did you see his dick?
Is he sideburns?
No, that's Leo, I think.
Leo, that makes sense. I don't remember.
Because you can move the camera around. And I definitely checked it out.
I probably did too. I don't remember particularly, but that's funny.
It was nuts. I was like, oh my God, what if kids play this? But anyway, yeah, it's pretty fun. It's not as good as like It Takes Two, but I think it's just like, I don't know how fun you can make escaping prison.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some fun bits in the game for sure that are like,
it's
different.
Like, but it's the same
it's the same studio. And I think they're really like workshopping the whole like cooperative play in that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a lot of what they learned from that game made It Takes Two, which
is
pretty cool.
Did you finish that? A Way Out?
Yeah. It's good.
Is it long?
Longer than I thought it was going to be. So I thought it was going to be like 5 hours or something.
How long do you think it was?
It's probably like 7.
Okay. I don't know. I think we maybe put like,
but there's parts of it where I just like got lost, but I was just being dumb. I think
I see. So. We're at like the bit where like they're pretty much escaped from the cops and then they decide to go down and take out whoever, like the guy that they're hunting down or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So probably some time left.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, there's still a good amount of things to do. There's more interesting parts to come too. Like more interesting than like the prison, I think, because I just wasn't expecting to be in whatever situation. So
I was kind of worried that I was going to be in more situations where I'd have to like make decisions in prison, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know how to handle that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's mostly just like tricking guards and whatnot and not being seen.
Yeah.
So luckily that anxiety wasn't there, but
it's fun. There's some shooting and stuff that you do too, I think. So look out for that. There's a part where you can play basketball, and I had a lot of fun doing that.
There was like a driving bit where she had to like shoot the cops that were chasing us.
Oh, yeah.
That was neat. Oh, dude, we had a fucking hell of a time. And like, you're like in like this boat.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you escape from the cops and you're like, oh, our fucking, we ran out of road or whatever. Let's get in this boat. I'm like, you can still get shot at.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and like the cops don't stop. They're right on your tail.
Yeah.
But as soon as they get in the boat, they're like home free.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard to like navigate like how much to push and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, good game.
Good game. What are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
We are gonna read Lore Olympus.
She's still gonna do that?
Yeah.
All right.
With Sophia, who is big on that shit.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be good.
She's like caught up. It's like a webtoon.
It is a webtoon. She's just a little bit behind, but there's like hundreds of chapters, I think. And she's like pretty deep into it.
Nice.
Deep into the sauce.
This one's a little tricky to get. It's not, you could either get webtoons, which is like a website, or like they have physical ones that you can get on like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but it's not like available digitally anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like a
But this will probably be like the comic book that the most people have read out of like anything that we've done.
It's pretty popping.
Millions. I think at this point.
Yeah, dude.
Which is crazy. So we're finally getting to it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it was good talking to you, Nathan. Thanks for coming on.
Yep.
Hope to have you back.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Check out the link tree in our bio. We got the socials and stuff. Yep. Like, comment, subscribe. Five stars.
Go to our YouTube. Check it out.
Yeah. I think it's good. I spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, it's good.
Some good eps.
Good eps.
I think it's the way to experience this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Show you some important panels.
Yeah. Let us know if you read any Dune comics.
Yeah.
Any other ones. Also, what is it? Is it X or is it 9? I need to know. It's going to bother me.
Let me know.
Please.
And yeah, that's it.
Bye. That's it. Peace.